Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, Dr. Linda Blockland, Chairperson of Clinical Psychology Forum. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you, Howard.
Good. So this whole thing about buying items that we really don't need, we really don't want, but somehow we just seem either so weak or we just magnificently manipulated. Tell us about this.
I think you're right, and I have to confess I have a couple of items in my house that I have no idea why I bought them. So yes, the marketing of products is really quite manipulative very often. And, you know, from the way they are promoted as individual items to the way shops are displayed and laid out and so on, the sort of ambience that's created, it's all designed to encourage people to buy, to part with their money. So you're basically convinced that you need this or you want this or it's going to make your life better in some way. Yeah.
So is it what does it appeal to? I know that in marketing, when I look at marketing a product or looking at something, we look at two things. We look at the external and the internal. So if I want to open a restaurant, I look at what problem, or sell a cell phone, what problem needs to be solved? People either need to eat dinner or they need to make a phone call. That's the external problem that needs to be solved. But there are a lot of cell phones that can help me make a phone call. When I'm actually branding a product, I've got to sell to an internal desire. So Apple will sell, for example, an iPhone will sell to status and it'll appeal to status. A restaurant will appeal to whatever market they are trying to attract. So it there's something internal. It's not just about solving a problem that we need. I need a item, I need a knife for my kitchen. Well, a lot of knives will solve that problem. Why do I go and buy specific ones?
You know, you're absolutely right, and this is where the manipulation starts coming in. So it's not about just needing something to solve a problem, but you know, if I go back to what I said about the ambience, if you walk into a shop and there's this very relaxing, sort of luxurious ambience, if you buy something from there, you get the sense that you're taking a bit of that home, you're owning it. You know, and the status as well. That you don't just have any old iPhone or any old motor vehicle. You have something that becomes desirable, or you've been convinced that it's desirable, and that's what you're buying.
So, to some extent, are we always buying status?
Are we always buying
status?
Well, not. I would say not always. A lot of the time. So it depends on the product. You talk about leaf blowers, not necessarily status.
Mm.
I'm not sure what it's selling. But yeah, sometimes it's something that you're convinced is going to make your life better in some way, might bring some comfort, something that you're aiming to own. I mean, and on the other end of the spectrum, it's just that it's marketed at that impulse buying, like the kind of products that are displayed near the till, and you've got to stand these long queues and go past all these things which are attractively displayed. So
Oh, so it appeals to a lot of different things. So some of it could be impulse, some of it could be status, some of it could be, I know runners, for example, all like certain types of equipment because it places them within a category. Maybe on a subconscious level, you'll feel like you run better or you're part of a crew that does run that well, for example.
Exactly.
Right, and impulse and impulse buying in terms of displaying items at the tills. You know, I know many places, the Woolworths, Dis-Chem. You know, you've got these long lines, and as you go down the line, so there's many items to choose from.
Exactly, and to the distress of many parents, it's often sweets and things that children suddenly want them, and you've got to stand in this queue with the children who want sweets. Yeah, so impulse buying is definitely quite a big thing. And I think that also comes into online buying. You know, it's also it's a trigger for impulse buying because it's there. All you have to do is click and suddenly it's yours without too much consideration. And to think you haven't even handled the product, you haven't even sort of been much closer to it than an image on the screen.
Why do some shops play loud, high-energy music? Does that help us buy?
That's an interesting one. So that also sort of raises your energy levels. It's stimulating. So you're more likely to buy if it's stimulating music. But it, you know, it could be other things too. You know, go back to that idea of ambience. You know, if you create a sort of a status or upper class luxurious ambience, it also gives you that sense of this is where I need to be. These are the kind of things I need to own. But the stimulating music definitely creates that trigger for impulse buying.
Is there a way to protect ourselves from this?
Yeah, I think that probably a good way to do that is to think about, before you leave the house, to think about exactly what you need and make a list and stick to that list. And, you know, what sometimes makes it difficult is when shops move their products around. Mm. So you would normally go down aisle 3 to get what you need that's on your list, and suddenly you find it's not in aisle 3, but there's all this other stuff which is quite attractive all of a sudden. But a list definitely helps.
Well, it was actually quite funny. On Sunday, I had to pop out and get some medicine. And I said to my wife, I'm just going to quickly run to Dis-Chem, get the meds, get what I need and come back. And I did exactly that. And I walked in and she said, why are you back already? And I said, why? There weren't any lines. She said, but you went to Dis-Chem. And, yeah. and it was so interesting because she knows that if her and my daughter go to Dis-Chem, they even to get the one simple item, it's going to be, you know, they'll come back with packet loads of things 3 hours
exactly.
later because, you know, that's because there's so many awesome things to buy. It's just so interesting because I had gone and I guess I was on a mission and I went, got what I needed and came back and didn't buy the rest of the shop. But it actually even came as a surprise to my wife. So therefore it was kind of expected that that's what we do. If we go to a shop to buy one item, we're going to come back hours later with many.
Well, exactly. That happens to so many of us.
It's really, really fascinating. Dr. Linda Blockland, Chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum, thank you for joining us.